thank you for tuning in to the podcast, Increase Volunteer Vision and Action in Your Program. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and I'm an Extension Educator for the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Today, our podcast is recorded live in front of an audience at the National Association Extension 4-H Agents Conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello to our studio audience. Thank you all for being here today. And now I would like to introduce Becky Harrington and Karen Santel, colleagues of mine from Minnesota, and they're going to share recommendations on how your program can increase and improve volunteer impact. Becky and Karen, thank you for joining me for this live podcast in front of this great audience today.
Glad to be here, Carrie.
So we'll start off with you guys introducing yourselves.
Hi, I'm Becky Harrington. I'm an Extension Educator and Volunteer Systems Director for our Center for Youth Development in University of Minnesota.
And I'm Karen Santel, Regional Extension Educator in Youth Development in the Northwest corner of the state.
All right, thanks you guys. And I would like to jump right into the meat of our podcast today, but I would like to mention first that a little over a year ago, Karen and Becky shared what Got Viva is in podcast episode 4, which we called Growing 4-H Opportunities Together, Volunteers in Vision and Action. Now today they're going to be sharing their recommendations as a result of working with that program. And so first of all though, I think before we get started, Karen, you are going to give a quick overview of what that program is, just in case people haven't listened to episode 4.
Okay. Well, Growing 4-H Opportunities Together, Volunteers in Vision and Action, and it's what we call Got Viva for short, is a strategic program planning process that we utilize with a team of staff that involve youth and adult volunteers and stakeholders within a community to develop program priorities that meet youth need as well as statewide priorities. And then they collect data and then we put action to that with a volunteer system. It's about a 12-week process that it takes staff to go through different things from preparing the county council and federation to collecting the data to developing the priorities as well as the strategies. So it's, as I said, it's a strategic planning process, so it does take some time, but it's a process that we have been successful with in the counties that we have implemented it in Minnesota.
All right, and I understand there are 5 recommendations, and you two have actually brought this to the conference as well, so I appreciate you sharing it during the podcast. The 5 recommendations are implementing priorities, volunteers in middle management roles, youth engagement, partnership engagement, and staff development. Becky, you're going to tell us a little bit more, get into more detail about what that means.
Sure. Thanks, Carrie. So we didn't just pull these out of the air, we did an impact evaluation with 15 counties that had completed the process and actually a year after they had completed it. And so we wanted to really take a look at what worked, what didn't, because we're about program improvement. And so I'd say that these recommendations work certainly as we look at Got Viva, but anyone that's going through strategic planning in their youth organization. And so as I talk first around implementing priorities, one of the things that we really recommend is to take on just 1 or 2 priorities to look at implementing right away. We had some counties that had 9, and that just is unrealistic to be able to move that forward. And so certainly to take a look at getting some quick wins with 1 or 2 of those priorities and then adding those down, the others down the way. Recommendation around implementing priorities is looking at where else in the program can it be put into the water. And so we've had action teams that have really focused on that. So for example, a priority is around middle school leadership, and so we've got a group of people really engaged around that. But to be even more successful, how does the livestock committee look at how can we build up leadership in middle school young people? So again, putting that in the water throughout the organization. I think also too, how do we continue to to share those priorities and action plans with everyone, whether it's looking at federation or leader council agendas, always having those priorities out there, making sure it's in county newsletters, sharing those with stakeholders. And finally, one thing that we have staffed turnover in places, and so if we have a county that's gone through this process, they have a great action plan in place, staff leave, how do we make sure that that's part of onboarding for the new staff and that it's able to continue when we have new staff come?
Cool. So the second one is volunteers and middle management roles. What specifically are volunteers doing to make this successful?
So one of the pieces in the impact evaluation that we saw that a year after, 75% of the volunteers that had been engaged at the beginning of the process were still engaged, which is great. We had 75% are still thinking this is important. One of the pieces that we asked, though, how many of those are in middle management roles? How many of those are giving leadership? And that was only 44%. So there's a gap in that. Mm-hmm. And so one of the recommendations is taking a look at the priorities and really recruiting volunteers for those action teams, knowing that people might come to us with real passion around project learning, if that's a priority, and even going a step further to seek out people to serve as chairpersons or champions, as we're calling them, so that we build that infrastructure that will help lead to success and continue to have volunteer involvement at a middle management level.
And that middle management volunteer is really seeking out people's aspirations, goals, what they're good at, and making them in charge of it.
Right. So that's what we want to do as staff is to do that and recruit and then hopefully help volunteers build those skills as well so that they're engaging more people.
Yeah, and also as you mentioned, if there's staff turnover, the volunteers aren't going to leave even if the
absolutely,
staff does.
Absolutely.
So,
which,
I catch on fast.
Preaching to the choir here in the audience about a strong volunteer system.
All right, the third one is youth engagement. What is your recommendation around that?
Well, one of the things that isn't surprisingly, because we're in a youth organization, but youth voice was really elevated through this process. We made sure youth were on our steering committees, around the table when we were doing focus groups, around the table with strategies as well as program priorities. And that was it in our evaluation and our recommendations. It really has come out some excitement around youth voice with our adult volunteers and our staff. And so it's, the recommendation is just to remember to keep that shared leadership with our youth, because that's what we are about. The other one was around partnership engagement. We found through this process that there's a higher rate of engaging partners with existing programs. So one of the things we need to consider in the future is, as we have partners or new partners around the table, to make sure that they know about our existing programs and what opportunities exist and how they could be integrated into existing programs as well as potential new programming as well.
Can you give an example of a partner organization?
Just one?
Yes.
I think about, this was a new partnership, and it's, we had, in one county, there was a garden club that was partnering with the 4-H program to do barn quilts, which, has lots of different project areas between math and the creative arts. So that would be an example of a partnership.
Okay. Thank you. And the last one is staff development.
Yes, there is quite a bit of staff development in the process itself. There's three different presentations, two around volunteer systems and one around program planning. And our recommendations is to continue to strengthen the middle management portion of that or strengthen it. As Becky said, we found there was excitement around it, but a year after, the middle managers weren't necessarily, they weren't where we wanted them to be. And then continue with our program planning presentation, that just, it helps people connect what they're doing to the big picture and with our statewide goals.
Well, Becky and Karen, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this live podcast today. And we do need to wrap up this conversation. I'd also like to thank our audience for participating today and being a part of this. So thank you. And as we bring this podcast to an end, know that this conversation does not have to end here. You can also find us on www.extension.umn.edu/youth For more information on working with volunteers, as well as other research, training, and events we offer, and while you're there, check out our Minnesota 4-H program. We would also like to invite you to our Youth Development Insight blog, where you can engage and comment on research and programs that our colleagues are working on. That is going to wrap up this podcast. This is Carrie Robidoux from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon. Woo!